All right. Hey, a pastoral poll. I've got a question. How many of you saw Harry Potter this weekend? All right. So most of you. I just found out this was a big deal this week. I had no idea. But I guess like you all grew up with Harry Potter, didn't you? Like reading the books and Harry Potter's your mine was Star Wars. So when I was a little kid, that's, you know, but Harry Potter, y'all, did you, thumbs up, thumbs down? You liked it? Okay, I'm thinking that was good. We got a few hoops and hollers. Anyway, all right, we're not here to talk about Harry Potter. I was just curious, a little pastoral poll. We are here tonight to listen to the word of the Lord, the book that we love. Come with me to the book of Philippians in chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. The Apostle Paul writes this from his prison cell. I rejoice in the Lord greatly, now that at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you have always been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it's like to have plenty, and I know what it's like to be in want. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of going hungry and of being well fed, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share in my distress. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's late November on Hope College's campus. I can feel the mood beginning to shift. Tiredness is in the bones. The papers, they are piling. The tests are looming. The anxiety is building. And as I look out from my vantage point, some of you look like you're about to burst. Not only do you have the pressures of schoolwork that loom, you also have the holidays right around the corner. The Christmas lights are just down the hall. And for some of you, the holidays means a vacation. Holidays is going home and eating good food, and your mom's going to do your laundry. Shame on you. But for some of you, going home, well, it isn't always a vacation, is it? For some of you going home, it means revisiting some family dynamics that, quite frankly, it's easier to be away from. For some of you, when you go home, there isn't always a home-cooked meal, and mom isn't doing your laundries. For some of you going home, it means having to face some hard conversations about finances. It means having to enter into maybe some broken relationships. Going home doesn't always mean a vacation. In the midst of being really tired and lots of anxiety, this can be a season when the holidays can, well, it can fill us with a sense of dread. And you look around and you feel like you're the only one. You look around and it seems like everyone else has got money for presents or money for gas to get home or money to buy that airplane ticket, but you don't. You look around and everyone else's family seems to be intact, but yours isn't. And you look around and you do the comparison shopping and you're frustrated and it can feel like you're left out of the holiday joy. And you're just worried at the end of the day, how do I get through this? I can hear it sometimes in the quietness of what's not said, the question right underneath the soul. Can I get all of this done? Is there enough time in the day? Where am I going to get all the emotional reserves to deal with what I got to deal with? Can I handle the holidays this year? Underneath these questions, deep in the soul, there is a restlessness, almost like an agitation, a grain of sand on the eyeball of our faith. We can see, but just not as clearly or as easily as we'd like. And if that's the situation you're in, if you're feeling tiredness in the bones, if as you approach the holidays, you feel like you need that something that you're not even sure what it is, I want to give you something. It's absolutely free. You can take it with you wherever you want, and it will speak to you at any time and any place. And it's not a cell phone. You do not need a multi-minute plan. It's not about texting, but it is something that can be texted on the grave of your heart. It can speak to you when you start to feel the anxiety bubbling up out of the soul and up through your chest and into your throat and into your eyeballs. It is a simple little verse, and it's a verse that I'd like to share with you tonight. We heard it from Paul, a short little verse written from a jail cell. And it is this little verse that captures the entire mood and tenor and atmosphere of the letter to the Philippians. It's Philippians 4:13. It's not a long verse. In fact, it's quite short, but its consequences are large, and it's impossible to measure its ripple effect. Would you learn it with me? Repeat after me, if you can. If you can. If you can. I can. I can do all things. I can do all things through Him. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now together, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Again, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. One more time, really whisper. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. One last time, robustly. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This is the verse that I want you to put in your back pocket. This is the verse that I want you to carry with you in your soul. Write it on your imaginations and let it speak to you at any time and at any place. You feel that anxiety starting to percolate up out of the soul and into your eyeballs. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. For this is the truth of the gospel. This is a verse that if you take with you and you live into its large consequences, can reframe your life in such a way that you can face any circumstance at any time with the boldness and confidence of Jesus Christ. It is this verse, this small little verse, that if we live into and plant in our souls like a little seed, can grow large into a kingdom that cannot end. I can do all things, says Paul, through Him who strengthens me. Now, I grew up with this verse. And it was an important verse to me, but I grew up with it in somewhat of a different context of use and the way I want to encourage you to use it. I grew up in a family that ate its daily bread on the power of positive thinking. I grew up reading books by Norman Vincent Peale. The Peale Center, actually, was named after this laudable preacher of the 20th century who made a name for himself encouraging Christians to believe in themselves. The power of positive thinking captures the mood and movement altogether. I grew up memorizing pithy little quotes like the me I see is the me I'll be. These little proverbs and quotes I put on the back of t-shirts as I'd go out and run 5 miles and imagine that I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. But the focus was on me. I can do all things, which translated into an athletic culture that I'm going to do all things, i.e., I'm going to win. I am going to destroy you in Jesus' name. The power of positive thinking has many particular things that I like about it. There's a lot of truth in it. But the problem is that it's not particularly Christian in any kind of way. It is a little bit of Thoreau's transcendentalism mixed in with a little proverbial insight and a little bit of Oprah's humanism and enthusiasm with a dash of Jesus to make it just a little Christianity respectability. The power of positive thinking was the forerunner to moralistic therapeutic deism. And for any kind of living example, just turn on Channel 22 wherever the Christian stations are and you'll get your fare. The power of positive thinking is a salesman's Christianity. And Philippians 4:13 is the mantra, the credo for a kind of self-help spirituality. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Means and is translated in that you can do anything. You can be anything you want as long as you believe in yourself. Literally, Anything is your possibility, as long as your possibilities are not too small. Just believe in yourself. Jesus came to help you, help yourself, so that you too can walk on water. This faith traffics in a God who will help you become a better you and to make sure you never feel bad about yourself, ever. The problem with the world is not sin. It's self-esteem, or more precisely, a lack thereof. Indeed, this is the very air we breathe. It is the air that suggests you can do and be anything you want in life. Just dream it. If you can name it and believe in it, you can achieve it. The problem is this kind of thinking ignores gravity. It ignores the realities and complexities of the real world. It ignores the fact that the world is fallen. And despite no matter how positive we think about some things, there are some things we simply cannot fix just by wishing them away. I remember when I was in seminary, I was doing an internship at a church, and one of my jobs was to go visit the shut-ins and the elderly and the sick. And I remember I visited this one woman, I forget what her name was, but she did not have long to live on this earth. And I went to see her, and I sat down next to her. I said, hello. She said, hello. And we explained pleasantries. We shared a little bit about each other's life history. And I said, can I read you some scripture? She said, oh, yes, please. So I read her different verses throughout the Bible, and I came to this verse, Philippians 4:13, and I said, God, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And I remember that she cocked an eyebrow, and she looked at me at a 45-degree angle. She said, really? Then why is it that I feel so weak? What does this verse mean? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Does it mean that if you have enough faith that you will never get sick? Does it mean that if you believe in yourself enough, believe in God enough, you can outsmart old age and death? Does it mean that if you believe in yourself enough, the bank is going to forget your college loans? Does it mean that if you really think you're fast, if you really believe that you can run like the wind, that you'll outpace a cheetah? No. No, you can't do that. A cheetah is faster. I don't care how much you believe in yourself, you're not faster than a cheetah. Paul is not giving us a pass to ignore the hard facts of life. Paul is not promoting the power of positive thinking or any version of Christian self-help. It's not that you can do anything. You can't flap your wings and fly. You can't plant a tree on a cloud. Paul is not saying that you can do anything. He is saying that whatever circumstance you're in, you can endure it. You can face it. You can live into it with confidence. You see the difference? It's not that you can do anything. It's that you can face anything life throws at you. And there is a radically different kind of faith. One has faith purely in yourself and your own gifts. One calls you to be a hero, and the other calls you to be a Christian, one who trusts in God's strength. The power of positive thinking puts the emphasis on I can do all things, and the Christian places the emphasis on the God who strengthens me. We can endure all things, face all things, live into all dynamics because the God of the universe is strengthening us. I can do all things through him who strengthens me is not a call to be a superhero. It's a call to a deep faith, a trust in Jesus Christ's work of reconciliation that manifests itself in a quiet and calm confidence and contentment. The reason why Paul can say with absolute confidence, I can endure all things, is that he has learned an important secret. And it is the secret that he wants to give his friends. And it's the secret that I want to give you. It is the secret behind his joy. It is the secret secret that is what allows him to say with confidence, even though he's in prison, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And Paul's secret, he says, is contentment. I have learned to be content with all things, says Paul. I have learned what it's like to have little and what it's like to have plenty. I have learned the secret, says Paul, in any and all circumstances of knowing what it's like to be well-fed and of being hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. It's in that kind of context that Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What Paul has and what he wants us to have is contentment. Are you content with your life? Deep down underneath all the layers, all of the facades, the place when you go to what only you know about, are you deeply content? That is Paul's secret. This is one of Paul's biggest insights for his friends. And this is why I want you to take this verse with you and put it in your back pocket. Paul's personal situation and his circumstances are horrible. He's away from his family and his friends. He has no resources or money aside from what his friends have offered to him. He's facing death, possibly. He has no idea what the future holds. He's probably cold and poorly clothed. He is hungry. And yet he can say, I have learned to be content in these circumstances. How can he do that? Well, he's learned the secret, the secret of being content with whatever he has, because he no longer lives by an old script, but by a new script. Most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, at least if I'm honest with myself, when I'm not content, it's often because I'm living by an old script, the script that's been handed down from generation to generation to generation. And the old script is basing our contentment on our comparison to other people around us. It's comparison by what others have, not by what I have. We look around and we hear that person in class who's just so smart. And we say to ourselves, I wish I had that kind of brain. And we look at that family and say, I wish my family was like that one. Or we look at that person in that relationship. If only I could get in a relationship like that, then I'd be content. We get on the Facebook and like, oh my gosh, if I just had that perfect Facebook pic, then I too would have 6 million friends. Do you get the point? We look around and we base our contentment based upon those things that are around us. And this is an old script, and it's based upon external comparisons. It's the script that says that our righteousness comes from the law, on how we perform, on how we do things. It's based upon how we look, on our popularity or the scorecard of our life. It's an old script. And the old script encourages something like this, that most of us are happy if we have a lot of material things around us, really cool things. But to have those things means you have to have a lot of money. Well, to have a lot of money means you have to have a really good job. And to have a really good job means you have to have the right kind of education. And so you go to education in order to study, in order to get the things, to have the money to get the things, because it's the promise that if you have all of this, then you're going to be content. Then you're going to be happy. But you know this, that it isn't true. We've all lusted after that, those fancy shoes, you know, or that sweater, or that whatever it is, and you finally got it, and like 3 days later, it just loses its luster. We've all had those circumstances that once we've gotten those things, we're starting to look for something else. You can never buy enough. You can never be in enough relationships. You can never study enough to satisfy all that there is to know. And so this discontentment breeds off an old script that offers us a false promise that if we just get the next thing, if I just get that relationship, or if I just get that grade, if I can just win that championship, if I, you know, whatever it is, then I'll be content. But Paul's learned a different secret and pivots off a different kind of life. Paul has a new script. And the good news for us is that he points us to a new script that transcends all our circumstances, that says to us that our significance, our identity, our worth is not based upon external comparisons with each other. It's not based upon how much you have or how little you have. It's not based upon whether you're well-fed or you're hungry. It's not based upon whether you're in a relationship or you're not. It calls us to a new kind of contentment based in a radical trust in God. A trust in what God has done for us. A God who is right now empowering us by his Holy Spirit. It is that kind of trust that allows Paul to transcend his horrible circumstances. And he can say with confidence that I have learned to be content with all things. He can write, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say this again, rejoice. Why? Because he knows something that is true. He lives in a reality that transcends his circumstances. He sees that despite the sufferings of this present moment, there is a glory yet to be revealed. And it is this glory that intoxicates him, that sets him free even though he is in chains and in bondage. Paul knows that there is a reality larger than himself. And it's for this reason that he writes, yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss compared to Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss compared to the surpassing value of knowing intimately Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, that comes from the old script, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God based on faith, the new script. The new script is what allows us to know a living God. The new script is what allows us to live into a God who speaks to us. A new script is what allows us to live a life of freedom and contentment based upon what God has done for us, not what we have to do for God. This new script is what sets us free. This new script is what promises us peace and joy. This new script is what we are invited to live into this holiday season. Whether you're going home and you have to face a lot of difficult conversations, I want you to take the new script with you. The new script is what promises us a life of contentment. And whether you have a lot or you have a little, whether you're single or you're in a dating relationship, whether you're going home and it will be easy or it will be hard, whether you made the team or you didn't, whether you have a lot to get done or even more to get done, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And because you can do all things, it means that you can face that difficult conversation you've been putting off. It means you can write and finish that paper. It means that you will get through this difficult financial time. It means that you can handle the breakup. You can handle the holiday drama. You can say goodbye. It means that you can live a full and happy life, single. It means that you can live a different script than the friends around you. You can live a chaste life. You don't have to intoxicate yourself for friends. It means that you don't have to stay up all night in order to get the perfect grade so that you can get the perfect job, so that you can live the perfect life. You can do all things through him who strengthens you means that you can rest and you can live at peace because you no longer have to live in competition with each other, but that you can live in love with each other and shalom with each other. You can endure whatever circumstances you find yourself in right now because God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is with you is for you. I can do all things, says Paul, through him who strengthens me. Take this verse with you. Put it in your back pocket. Write it on your forehead. Put it in your soul. Whisper it to yourself when you take that final and you're facing that quantum physics, biochemical, mathematical formula, and you stare at this. I can do this through him who strengthens me. And even if you can't do it, you'll get through it. Because God is with us and God is for us. Go into this holiday season, wherever you go, north or south or east or west, with the knowledge that you can face and endure any circumstances that faces you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have called us and made us your own. We thank you, Lord, that we can endure all things through you, Christ, who strengthens us. I pray that you will bless each person here as each has need with that kind of faith, the faith of Philippians 4:13, so that we will have the quiet and calm contentment that comes with knowing you, Jesus. Bless us with that gift this holiday season. We pray this in your holy name, and everyone said, amen.